Let's go quickly to John 3. Because we're going to find out what it really means to be sold out. I found that I thought I knew what it meant. But when you say I'm sold out, that's a very serious statement. And we're going to find out shortly. John 3, verses 16 and 17. Let's read them together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, we're still talking or resuming today talking about having spiritual momentum, because as we've learned, momentum is a force that gets you going in the right direction and then keeps you going, you know, until you accomplish the task. Nothing starts without momentum. I mean, that's just the way it is. But there's some characteristics of momentum that I'm going to review quickly. Momentum is single-minded. It's unwavering in its pursuit. It has passion which knows no limits. It demands concentrated intensity and a definite sense of destiny. That it knows where it's supposed to go. Knows. It has boundless vision and it is committed to excellence. And the part about that we sometimes fail to understand is that all of those characteristics must be present or your momentum will wane. Everybody say, I need it all. Okay. Say, I have to be single-minded. I have to be committed to excellence. I have to have unlimited passion. I have a definite sense of destiny. And I must be unwavering in my pursuit. Okay, now turn me to Matthew 22. Not going to share a lot of scripture, but we're going to share a lot of information. Is that okay? Let's read verse 37. When you get there, say, are you there? Okay, let's read. Jesus said to him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. He said, you're supposed to be loving God. How? All your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Did you ever stop to think what that means? Really, have you ever just stopped and take a moment and just, what does that mean? All my heart, all my soul, all my mind. That's how I'm supposed to love God. I mean, there were some times when my wife and I, we'd give cards to each other for different occasions. And say, I love you with all my heart. And we put, that's not a sign to God. I mean, we know what we mean, but if I love my wife with all my heart, where's there room to love God? You know? And so we have to start thinking about, all right, we read this scripture, we say this scripture, but what does it mean? How do I apply this? And I start out, as you know, at everything just by looking up words. And so I go to the concordance and I use different dictionaries. I even went urban during this study. I went to the Urban Dictionary and got some definitions. But all, just simple word, all. We know it means whole and complete. And it also means every bit. Every bit. You shall love the Lord thy God with every bit of your heart, every bit of your soul, every bit of your mind. The heart is, in that scripture, it denotes the center of all physical and spiritual activities. That's one of the definitions of heart in that scripture.
Soul is the force which animates the body, makes it breathe. It's the seat of all your feelings, desires, and affections. And your mind is your understanding, and it's your way of thinking, it's your way of feeling. So according to Jesus, we're to love the Lord our God with every bit of our spiritual and physical life, every bit of the force that gives us life, and every bit of our understanding, feelings, desires, and way of thinking. All of that is to be used to love the Lord thy God. And I'm wondering, well, what's left? Nothing. Why? Because if I'm loving the Lord like that, guess what I am? Well, I'll give you a hint. You go to the store and you want to buy a box of cookies. Favorite cookies. Stop shaking your head at me. You know, those little, I call them little cookie cakes, black and white, icing on them. And you've had this taste in your mouth for them. You know, and you go to the store to buy them. You say, I don't like them. Whatever it is, you think of your favorite cookies. And then none on the shelf. None. You're feeling it already, right? And you go to the manager, you're like, where are these cookies? And he says, I'm sorry, I'm sold out. You're like, how can you be sold out? We're sold out. There's nothing left. There's nothing that anyone else can grab onto. There's nothing that anything or anybody can latch onto because they're not there. They're gone. They've been sold. They're sold out. There's nothing left. And I found out that that's how God expects us to love him, in such a way that there isn't any of us left, anything left in us that anything else can attach itself to. There's some things, I'm way ahead, but that's okay. There's some things that we wouldn't be doing if we were truly sold out. And we're going to go into those in a minute, because when you're sold out, you're single-minded. All you're thinking about is Christ and what he's told you to do. You're committed to excellence because you want to do what he said the way he said to do it. You have a passion about it that knows no limits, because God is the one that said that I should be doing this. And you have a definite sense of destiny. You know, this is where I'm supposed to be. This is what I'm supposed to do. And nothing or no one will cause you to change your path. Nothing will get you off your path. It doesn't matter what it is. You are not stepping off this path. Period. Because you're sold out. Now, sold out, that word, that term itself, most of the time it's used, is really not very nice. It's really not. I mean, through the years I've been called to sell out because I learned how to speak English. So I was called to sell out. I did my homework. I was called to sell out. I made the honor roll. I was called to sell out. I'm like, what are you talking about, sell out? They say, you don't act like you're black anymore. How am I supposed to act? Dumb, stupid, ignorant? Are you serious? I didn't see that under any definition for black person, colored person, Negro, whatever you want to do. I didn't see any definition that said I'm supposed to be dumb. I didn't see any definition that said I'm not supposed to be able to speak the King's English. and properly communicate unless it's to another one of my homies, and then no one else knows what I'm talking about. How am I going to live a life like that? They say, well, you're a sellout. I guess I am. I guess I am. And when God was blessed to the point where I could move out of the neighborhood, then it got worse. Then those who you thought were your friends turned on you. He's sold out, man. He's hanging around those white folks, and they're putting all this stuff in his head. I'm like, I'm going to work. I got a job. Okay. And I'm hanging around other people. And I said, you want me to hang around you? Okay. During that time, sir, you pay me $32,000 a year. And I'll spend my time with you. What do you think? But until then, hey, call me whatever you want to call me. I don't like George Foreman. Call me anything, but don't call me late for dinner. Okay. All right. But listen, we're familiar with 2 Corinthians 5:17. Right, what does it say? If any man, he is a... If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. So regardless of how we were beforehand, regardless of who we hung out with, when we received Christ, we changed. We change. We are not the same person. That person who we were no longer exists. It's like those cookies that we ain't on a shelf anymore. And so when someone comes for us, we're not there. Another brand has taken its place. Look at how the Living Bible puts it. I'd never read this scripture in the Living Bible before. It says, when someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He's not the same anymore. A new life has begun. When I received Jesus Christ, Foots was no longer available. Period. So I couldn't think like Foots. I couldn't act like Foots. I couldn't talk like Foots because he no longer existed. He was sold out. There was no more of him there. Who was there? Gregory. Gregory was there. Gregory and Foots were two entirely different people. Some of the things some folks come up to me and say now, they'd have never said to Foots. They'd never said it. They'd wound up gumming their food for the rest of their life, at a minimum, because everybody blink. That's how long it took me to go from calm to rage. I'm not bragging about it. I'm just telling you the truth. And I thought that's the way I had to be. But then I went to the Urban Dictionary. And I looked at the definition. And I read, you know, the Urban Dictionary is not for the squeamish. I'm telling you that right now. There's some things in there you want to look at, and you got to do like this with your eyes. You're reading some of these words. But I realized that when folks were saying things about me because I changed, there was no sense of getting upset about it because they were right. I changed. I no longer thought the same way. I no longer used the same words. I no longer had the same interests. And most of you know the story. I'm in a championship basketball game on the free throw line, and I'm standing there like I'm in another world just looking at this. I'm standing like this, just looking at this basketball in my hands. I'm on the free throw line. Okay. And the coach calls timeout. Foots, what's the matter? I'm like, I don't know. I kid you not. I at that moment, I really didn't know where I was. And he's like, what's the matter with you? And I'm like, I don't know. But this is my last game. And he's like, what are you talking about? It's your last game. You got to get back. He said, it's that church stuff, isn't it? And I looked at him and I said, yeah, it is. That was my last game. Done. And my contact with them, I tried to stay in contact, to, you know, try and witness and bring them in. They weren't having it. I had to leave them. I had to realize I'm not the one. So I had to just pray that God send someone else. But see, I was a brand new person inside. I wasn't the same anymore because I had become sold out. I didn't understand everything about it, but it happened anyway. It happened anyway. But the Urban Dictionary, I found this definition of sold out: completely committed, devoted, invested, and engaged to a cause. Sold out. To have no reserves about the decision you made. Sold out. Sold out. To be willing to go anywhere, do anything, and give up everything in order to achieve your goal by any means necessary. Sold out. And if we're not feeling that way about what God has called us to do, then we're not sold out. If we have any reservations about what God said, and we know it's God, and we don't do it, we're not sold out. See, you can't be sold out and walk out of love. It's like an oxymoron. I can't say I'm sold out for Christ and then curse you out. I can't do that. Those simple things. We were hungry yesterday. So we went to one of the restaurants we like and ordered burgers because we found out that there's not a lot of good places, the place that really make a good burger. And no, Archie, we don't do flame broiled or any of those things. That's a private joke with me and AA. But I'm very, very specific as to how I want food prepared. I'm not persnickety or anything like that, but I'm mindful of my sodium intake. Okay. I like walking around with normal blood pressure. All right. And so I gave very specific instructions. They wanted to put provolone cheese on these burgers. Well, provolone cheese is very salty. I said, no cheese. And we wanted sweet potato fries. Yeah. Okay. And the person repeated it back to me. Be ready in 15 minutes. Bet. Drive to the restaurant. Gave him 22 minutes. Go inside. Everybody knows, hey, Pastor Greg, hi. All is ready. Bring it here. Let me check it to make sure. That's what they said. And the guy went through everything. And I'm like, okay, there's no cheese. Nope, there's no cheese. Sweet potato fries. Yep, sweet potato fries. We're good. Go home. We take the bags out. And I'm like, they didn't mark which one was well done and which one was medium well. And I said, oh, that's right. I told them on the well done to put raw onions. Let me look. I'm looking and I'm seeing provolone cheese. And then I look and it's regular fries. And I look at the other one and that one has cheese on it. But at least it had the fries right. And I'm like, I'm not eating this. That's not what I paid for. I'm not doing that to my body. So I called them. And of course, they're very apologetic. They said, we'll deliver it. But trying to direct them, I said, look, It's easy for me to just come and get it. So it'll be ready in 10 minutes. Okay. I went there. Took about 18 minutes, but that's okay. That's okay. I'm sitting there. God is sharing some things. I'm looking up things on my phone. Not concerned. The owner comes out, and she's very apologetic. And I'm like, things happen. You're busy. The cooks are used to doing something a certain way. Sometimes it's automatic. They make a burger. They slap the cheese on it. No big deal. They bring the order out. I said, well, let's check it to make sure. He said, yes, here you go. This one, and I'm like, those are regular fries. He said, the sweet potato fries have no cheese. That one has no cheese. And the regular fries has cheese. I smiled. And I said, no, sir, none of them get cheese. And both of them get sweet potato fries. The cashier had a fit. She's like, I can't believe they did this again. And I'm like, chill, it's okay. And she storms off. Okay. Next thing, you know, the manager comes back, the owner, and she's like, Pastor Greg, I am so sorry. I don't understand what I said. It's okay. I'll wait. She said, but you had to come out here. I forgot they threw in cheesecake. Okay. So now not only don't we need cheese, but now we have cheesecake. Just to say I'm sorry. Okay. You see, why are you telling us this? We're hungry now. No. No, I'm telling you that because I had a lot of opportunities to say I've had enough. You know, there's work I needed to do. There was studying that I needed to finish. Yeah, I had, you know, God had already given me what he wanted. I could have come out here with no additional studying because he was so thorough, but I just felt the need to just study and just get all of the insight that I could, and that was a distraction. But more than that, that was designed to destroy my witness, because we go to this restaurant often. We bring guests to this restaurant. And all I need to walk in and say, yeah, you better get his order right, because if you don't, he's going to go off on you. And I told him, no, it's okay. And then when I was driving back, the Holy Ghost was saying, see, you were sold out. When you're sold out, you can't get angry about things if you're sold out. Regardless of what it is, you can't afford to get angry. You can't harbor any unforgiveness. So if I wanted to, I couldn't say, I am never coming back here again. See, that threw my microphone off. That's because the clip came off and I clipped it too tight, guys, so everything's cool. But I can't harbor unforgiveness and be sold out. If I'm sold out, I have to tithe. Why? That's one of God's principles. If I'm sold out, I have to give when he tells me. Why? Because I'm obedient. I can't be sold out and disobedient. I can't be sold out and worry. Some of us are worrying about things. If you're sold out, what is there to worry about? Because that means you've bought into God's plan for your life. His plan includes his provisions for you. So what's there to worry? What's there to doubt? If we're sold out. See, we have to turn these buzzwords into some practical actions. Because it's buzzwords, they don't do anything except sound good. We have to start turning them into action so we can do good. Some of us are not loving our wives the way Christ loves the church. We're not sold out. Some wives are not respecting their husbands in ways that show their respect for Christ. They're not sold out. At least not to Christ. We may have bought into some other thoughts, some other opinions, But we're not going with thus saith the Lord, and that's what we're to be sold out to. Because we do it, guilty of it. We'll respond to people based on what they do. And that's a human thing. But we need to understand that we're not humans. I mean, when you start looking at 2 Corinthians 5:17 in various translations, one translation says, if any man's in Christ, he's in a new world. So if I'm in a new world, that means I'm not bound by the thoughts and attitudes of this present, current world. I just happen to have to be passing through here. But it's not home base. So I have to follow the laws with my home base. Well, if my home base is heaven, then everything I have to do, first of all, needs to be heaven sent and heaven approved. Or I don't do it. And it even happens in the way that I think. I can't think I'm lonely. I can't think I'm all by myself. I can't think I'm ugly. I can't think like that if I'm sold out. If I'm sold out, I'm thinking I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God did an awesome job when he created me. Yeah. I like this. I'm not going to say, God, my ears are too big. There was one time that my ears looked like they were too big. But I was a teenager. I didn't know who I was in Christ. I'd like to fly in none. I'm going to stay out of windy days. And I just couldn't wait for my ears to start going closer to my face, my head. And I had become a little self-conscious because until I was 16, my age and my shoe size were the same. Okay. See, that's okay today because everybody's used to it. But it wasn't like that in the 60s. And they didn't make shoes that large where the whole shoe stayed on the ground. All right? They didn't. The front's curved up. Like an elf. Or looked like you had on skis. And people, you hear all those jokes. Oh, do they come with oars? I'm like, yeah, I wish they did because I'd hit you with one right now. But you can't think like that when you're sold out. Okay. It said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy mind. Now, Friday, I mean, it was an awesome time here. It was grossly understated. But at some point, while I was enjoying the carpet, God just took me. He just took me. And it was almost like I was like seeing the earth and was going back in time. And I'm thinking, what is this? And he was showing me I wasn't up close, but he was showing me the encounter between Joseph and Potiphar's wife. I'm like, why do I need to see this? You know? And he said, well, and then I went online and started looking up different things. You know, there are a lot of things folks have to say about Potiphar and Potiphar's wife. But typically, during that time, and you're a high-ranking official, you have your choice from what the world would consider the most gorgeous ladies in the area to take as your wife. So Potiphar's wife was probably, a looker. Okay. And you have Joseph sold into slavery, still a young man, hadn't been with a woman, she wasn't married, and you have this seductress going after him. You know, now think, she wasn't sitting at the coffee table, you know, and Joseph come back and say, "Oh, Joseph, come sleep with me." Oh, no. She had the makeup. She had the outfit. She had the look. And she used the voice. And all of those things said, like the army picture, "I want you." And he said, this is what he said. You'll find it in Genesis 39, but in the voice translation. That Joseph said to Potiphar's wife, "Look, please don't take offense, okay? But with me in charge, my master has no concerns for anything that goes on in the house." Folks, God put us here on this planet so he would have no concerns as anything that's going on this planet. He has trusted me with everything he has. He has entrusted us with this earth. He hasn't treated me like I am anything any less than he is. Well, when God made us, he said, "I'm making you in my image and after my likeness. And I'm giving you the same dominion I have." Right? Except, of course, for you. Because you're his wife. There's some things God has told us you don't touch. Started in the garden with the tree. This is when you know you're sold out. "Why would I do something so clearly wrong and sin so blatantly against God?" He's like, "Why would I do that? I don't care how you look. I don't care how you sound. I don't care what you say you can do for me. I am not going to sin against God." Period. And this went on. This didn't happen once. Bible says, although she pursued him day after day, Joseph would not consent to sleep with her and refused to be alone with her. That's why some folks laugh at me when I said, "No, if my wife's not with me, I don't take any other women home. One exception is our sister. We've been friends for 17 years, and with permission, I'll take her, and that's very rare." Since they were teenagers, they've been friends. Since teenagers. But, I mean, that's the way. It can be pouring hail, rain, fire and brimstone, whatever it is. And I see you walking down the street, I'm driving past you. And I'm going home. And I said, "Honey, I saw such and such. They look like they need some help." And if she wants to get in the car, we'll get in the car and we'll go on with that. "Come on, get in. We'll take you home." Why? You have to protect your anointing. It's, "Oh, no, but you know nothing's going to happen." No, you don't know that. You think nothing's going to happen. But the Bible says, don't even give the appearance of evil. And one example we used to use with the children, if they saw me, you imagine that Deacon Phyllis is not my wife. Okay, I'm married. Can't even get myself to say it. Okay, she's not my wife. I'll just say that. Okay. And you happen to be driving down 59, and you see the two of us, we're not holding hands, but we're walking side by side, just talking, and we're walking out of the Comfort Inn. Yeah, see, some of you snickering already. Okay. Thought wouldn't mind come in that, they were at a youth meeting. And if we said we were at a youth meeting, some of you would go, Right? Well, that's why God said don't even give the appearance of evil, because that puts you in the position where now you have to repent. Because you had some inappropriate thoughts. And sometimes those thoughts are based on what you might have done. I mean, that's... So Joseph refused to be seen with her, to be in alone with her. You know, and we know the end of that story. Something happened and he was, and, you know, when she couldn't have him, she accused him. But that's why, boy, folks have to, they have to really pay some money to accuse me. Because I'm always where I'm supposed to be, doing what I'm supposed to do. So if you want to go through the money and expense to get embarrassed and have to deal with God and possibly that nice, calm, cool, collected lady sitting over there. Okay. What about Mary, the mother of Jesus? She was sold out. Because she had to buy into what the angel said to her. She had to forget about tradition. She had to forget about what her fiancé might think about all of a sudden she comes and say, honey, I'm pregnant by the Holy Ghost. She had to think about the laws of the land. What they did to women that became pregnant out of wedlock. To this day, I still don't know why they didn't do it to the men also. But she was in danger of being stoned to death. And had Joseph consented, that's what would have happened. But she didn't care about any of that. She said, be it unto me according to your word. And that's a phrase that we need to learn how to act on if we're sold out. Be it unto us according to what you said, God. I don't care what it costs. I don't care what I have to go through. Why? I'm sold out. So you want to call me a sellout? That's fine. Because you're telling the truth. I've sold out. God made me an offer. I couldn't refuse. I bought in. So the old me is history. You're not going to find it. You can try, but you're not going to find it. I've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. I know what it feels like to walk in divine health. I know what it feels like to prosper. I know what it feels like to lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. I know. I know how to speak a word that God tells me and watch it change someone's life. And I'm going to walk away from that because someone might not like it? I don't think so. I'm sold out. Not just a catchphrase. But that's an action. And things, even more so, things that are not spiritual, I'm losing my taste for, so to speak. I'm losing it. Even a game show. I'm like, there's a book I could be reading. And then sometimes there's a book I need to be reading. See, when you're sold out, folks, you do what you need to do to get to the house of the Lord. You do what you need to do to learn more about who you are as this new person. And that takes time, and that takes effort. It takes commitment. What's that term we use? It takes a made-up mind. You know, what it's saying in Psalm, where is it? I wasn't going to use it, but I kept it here just in case. It says, Psalm 119, verse 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Let me not wander from thy commandments. See, I'm sold out, Lord, so I'm not going to wander from your commandments. I'm going to observe all of your laws because I'm sold out. I cried because I'm sold out and you heard me. I'll keep your statutes. I mean, just do a search. That's all I did. I just looked up whole heart. Just looked at what it said. And just applied sold out to it. How many of you are covered by his blood? How many of you have power over all the power of the enemy? How many of you have experienced his prosperity and his divine health? Then you're sold out. You need to act like it. All of the time. Don't get happy because you got one little piece of it. You need to... See, God showed me something when, you know, we talk about when God says, enter into my rest. Okay, and, you know, when we think of rest, we think peace, you know, and all of those things. And one day, several years ago, I was sitting right over here, and God said to me, that's not just what I mean by the rest. I'm like, what are you talking about? Well, if God was this whole sanctuary, and you were sitting just right here on the front row, God says, you need to enter into my rest. What? You need to enter into everything. All that I am is yours. Why are you settling for just the front row here? When you have all of this, you have the rest of God, and you're going to settle for just the front row. Why? Because it's easier to come here and sit than to move all around and up and down the aisles and all those things. It takes more effort to get the rest of God. Remember, he says, you draw to him and he'll draw to you. He didn't say, if you sit on your duff and don't do anything, I'm just going to come and sit on your lap. He said, draw near to me. Paul said, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So that means there's opposition. We were in Ocean City, and there was a windstorm. It was like 50, 55 mile an hour wind gust. Try and open the door to the car. You better move quicker. You're going to get squashed because you had to press through it. I mean, you get in, you're just leaning forward. And everything, no matter, even a little stubble on your hair blows back from that strong wind. It's just that powerful. You got to press through all of that. You got to press through stuff on your job. So what? You're sold out. Who cares what they say? They're going to laugh at you. You walk through the hallways praying in the Holy Ghost. They're at it again. Yep, I am. Yeah. That's why I signed the Jameson contract. You don't care. You're sold out. You're solving the problems that no one else can solve because you're sold out. You're hearing God. He's giving you the answers. Miracles are happening. You're getting promotions for which you were never trained. Folks are mad. They've been there 25 years, you've been there 3. But you're sold out. And so God is he's raising you up. He's moving you along. What? You're walking uprightly before him. You're loving the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. And we have to get to the point, folks, but we just flat out don't care. Who knows it? Or if someone doesn't like it, it doesn't matter. This is who I am. deal with it. That's what it is. So he told me to ask you a question. And you know me, I'm going to do exactly what he said. Because he said there's too much that's been going on around here, especially in the last few days, where over and over and over and over, it's been just mushed into us. You got to say the same thing. You got to be in one place. You got to be in one accord. Being in one place doesn't just mean in the same facility. It means that, but it doesn't just mean that. It means spiritually, we need to be in the same place. See, if my two arms were not in sync, I'd have a problem. I want to reach forward and one arm will go back this way. If my legs weren't in the same place, it'd be tough for me to get around. We have to be in the same place in our thinking. We need to be in the same place as to what we believe we can accomplish in Christ. We have to be in the same place with our understanding that we are the church, that we're founded on the revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we have to be in the same place in understanding that the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. See, why is that important? It's keeping us inside the fort. And we won't venture outside because we're afraid of some of the neighborhoods or some of the people. What? We're not in the same place. We're not thinking the same. Some of you have been called specifically by God to do things and you're doubting whether it's God or not. When really, if we admit it to ourselves, what we're doubting is whether or not we want to do it. So we use what I call a Christian cop-out. I'll pray about it. Let's see. God called you and said, come hither. God, I have to pray to you as to whether or not I'm going to do that thing. I need your wisdom on this. He already gave it to you. He said, come. Peter said, Lord, if it be you, bid me to come. Jesus said, come. Peter said, look, let me go pray about that first. I want to make sure you're not really a ghost. No. He stepped out of the boat and started walking. And then at that moment, he was at the same place that Jesus was. But see, here's the difference. Jesus kept looking at Peter. Peter started looking around. As soon as you take your eyes off Jesus, you're no longer in the same place. No longer in the same place. Why is that important? You don't have that comfort of knowing he's got his eyes on you. You can't look him eye to eye, Sony, and see his love and his caring for you in his eyes. And it makes you not want to take your eyes off of him. But if you're not in that place, you start looking around. And when you start looking around, you start failing because you've I bought a fryer. It's got, you ever see those fryers that have the magnetic connection so you plug it into the wall and it has the magnetic connection because if anything happens, it needs to get the power off right away. So if you move it the wrong way, the connection just falls off. And that's the way some of us are with God. We don't have a solid connection. We have a magnetic connection, and any movement breaks the connection. No, we have to be hardwired so that when we move, when he moves, we move. We have to be in the same place, and we're not. So I'm going to ask you to get up and come down here. Those of you who you haven't been acting like you're sold out to God because you've been doubting, you've been worrying about things, or you've just been flat out disobedient. This isn't the time to be prim and prissy and all that stuff. You have to look at yourself in the mirror. If I had time, I was going to buy individual mirrors for everybody. I'm serious, I was. But I didn't do it for two reasons. One, I didn't have time, and two, he didn't tell me to do it. It was my thought. But I said, I want you to picture looking yourself in the mirror and saying to yourself, I'm sold out for God, and asking yourself, am I telling the truth based on what I just heard? And if that answer is no, there's no shame in it. Get up, come down, let's fix it. Because God is taking us someplace. And if you want to go, you need to be in the same place. So you know me. I'll sit down until Pastor Judy comes to the evening service. And wait. Because this is just too serious. Just get up and come. That's all. It's not a hard thing.